So, from last week, we saw Paul exhorting us to have this mind of Christ, one of humility. And then he says here in verse 12, therefore, my beloved, therefore is because of all the things that went before, okay, exhorting us to have the mind of Christ, to have the humility of Christ. And then it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not my presence only, but now much more my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of our faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. So, as we go through this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, but not in my presence only, but now in my absence. I love this right here. So Paul says here that he prays with the Philippians and he asks right here. He says, Paul pays the Philippians fellowship a huge compliment in verse 12. What is it? What is he saying to them? Here in verse 12. What? That they're obedient. But not only obedient. Always obedient. But even what? Even when he's not there. You know, it's different when you're an employee and you're doing what you're supposed to do when the employer is there. Okay? But if you continue to do that, even when the employer isn't there, that's awesome. That's awesome. And so it's kind of like, yeah, you're here with us right now. You're putting on that church, you know, kind of facade. And hey, isn't God great? Hey, brother, how you doing? And stuff like that. But are you still obedient to God's word even when you're not around the brethren? Are you still obedient to God's word even when your spouse isn't present? You know, are you still obedient to the word? And I hope that you are. But Paul is blown away because he's hearing about them. I don't even have to be there. And I hear about their faith. I hear about their obedience in Christ. And so it's a good thing. They are obedient. And even when he's not there. And he hears about it. And it's awesome. The phrase fear and trembling is used only four other times in the New Testament. Mark 16:8, 1 Corinthians 2:3, 2 Corinthians 7:15, Ephesians 6:5. Look up these verses to get a better understanding of fear and trembling. What is fear and trembling here in verse 12? When you looked it up, when you saw these other verses, maybe even did a little word study and things like that. But the word study in context of those other verses, because those are the only four other verses that's used in the New Testament. What is being said here? What does fear and trembling mean?
Reverence.
Reverence is what fear means.
Awe
and respect.
Desire to please.
Desire to please. That's a real good one.
Staying obedient.
Staying obedient. Okay.
So they define the tromos, the trembling, as an anxiety of one who distrusts his own ability.
Mm-hmm.
But does distrusts
his own ability. Okay.
But does his utmost to fulfill his duty.
Awesome. So, knowing that, fear and trembling. How does one, right here, work out his salvation through fear and trembling? What is fear and trembling in this verse speaking of? Are you supposed to be fearful as you work out your salvation? Should you be trembling in fear that he's going to harm you or do something to you if you don't work out your own salvation? What is being spoken of here when you see those other verses?
Yeah, that respect, such a respect for God that you desire to do his will at all times. You're always wanting to please him and do what's right.
And
you want to displease your Father.
Yes. But that word trembling, we can't miss that in this. So how do you do that and trembling at the same time? What does that word trembling mean in that context?
Being excited.
Yes. Being excited. It could also mean trembling with fear, okay? Kind of like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:3, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. He was a little nervous that first time he was with them. because it talks about how in speech and in person he wasn't very, you know, persuasive. He wasn't very, but it was the word of God. But the other three times, whether it's Mark 16:8, so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. Notice how it's equated with amazed, because the angels there are saying, he's not here, he's risen. So they're amazed at the fact that he's alive again. They're trembling, not in fear that he's alive and he's going to do something to them, but they're excited. They're absolutely excited, and they fled to go tell the others. They had exciting news, and they're trembling with excitement. And I would submit to you, that is the exact context that we're looking at here. We work out our salvation in fear, in reverence, in awe, the desire to please God, and we should be excited to do that. We should be excited to do that. And so when it what does it mean to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? What does that actually mean, to work out your salvation? Do we have to work to be saved? No. But what does that mean to work out your salvation in fear and trembling?
The word work defines it to bring forth or achieve a desired goal.
To bring forth to achieve means an action, doesn't it?
A desired goal. So that's our goal, is to be pleasing to God.
It is our goal.
And to be found good and faithful servants.
Okay. Okay. Would you say?
To bear fruit, to work hard to bear fruit.
To bear fruit, okay. Yeah.
So we've been given everything for life and godliness. And we're supposed to, we have it. We just need to bring it out. Line it out.
How do you get big muscles? By doing nothing?
I wish.
I wish. Man, I put on the cream and I took the pills. It didn't work, man. You know? But I mean, how does it work?
Effort.
You have to work out. You have to use them, don't you? If you don't use your muscle, what happens? It atrophies. Okay? And so it withers away. So your salvation is to be worked out. You got to put in application. You have to be a doer of the word, man. You have to do it. It's not enough to know it. You now have to put it into application. And that's what it is to work out your own salvation. You should be excited. I know what the Word of God says now. I know what the Word of God says about here right now. I know what the Word of God says. I'm going to put that in application in this situation. And I need to be excited about it. You know? And sometimes you're going to put it into application and you might not be excited about it. But you know, this is what God's Word says, and I'm going to do it regardless. I don't think the result is what I'm going to want it to be, but I do know the action that I'm supposed to bring forth here is exactly what God wants it to be. James.
So your analogy of working out, you said big muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So that made a trigger in my head. There's working out, and that gets you toned.
Mm-hmm.
But until you put extreme or go beyond, you don't develop. You don't build.
It's true.
Is that the same context you're thinking?
Absolutely. In John 15, it says we're to bear fruit. And then it says bear much fruit. And that fruit will remain. So I don't care how big you bulk up. If you don't continue to do that same thing, then you won't be as big anymore. Okay? And so looking at this from a spiritual context is kind of like we're called to bear fruit. And so once you bear fruit and you see what God has done through you, you don't just back off and say, okay, I'm good now. That was cool to see that. And you always talk about that one fruit that you bore as you were obedient to Christ. I remember 2 years ago, I was obedient to Christ, and I saw him do that. That's awesome. What have you done since then? Well, you know, not a whole lot, but I saw God move. Okay, it's right there. It's like, come on, you know. So we are to bear fruit, but we're to bear much fruit. And it's great what God did yesterday. Now, what is he going to do today? Are you willing to be used again today? And how is he going to do it tomorrow? So we want to bear fruit. John.
One of the practical ways that we do that here, you're doing it tonight. God works out what you put in and what he puts in. So you come here tonight and you're getting input, right? So when you leave here tonight and I leave here tonight and I wake up in the morning, am I ready to work out on the outside what was put in the night before? Because Dave, Joey, whoever comes and preaches here, we teach you doctrine and we teach you how to apply it. You know, the book of Revelation, a lot of people go, oh, well, how can I apply the book of Revelation to my life? You know what? Dave, every weekend we'll have 4 or 5 applications out of the second coming of Christ in chapter 19. Right? And you go home and you go, okay, that's worked in me. How am I going to work that out in my everyday life? And that's why you're here. This is cool.
This is very cool. This is very cool. And so we're going to be talking more about that when it goes, let's go deeper in the well, where it says, where does working out your own salvation look like in your own life? And we'll do that when we get back. But I'm really excited to hear about that. Okay? And I'm going to share something that happened yesterday that was that. But so let's move on from that and go to right there. It says verse 13 tells us, God is working in us, which increases our responsibility, not lessens it. Therefore, God wants us to do what two things? What's that?
Accomplish his will.
You know, in order to accomplish his will, whose will has to change?
Our
hearts. It's not God's. I think back on how often I think I prayed in such a way that God's will would change, not be done, you know. And it's like coming to a huge rock and trying to move it. You know, it's not going to work that way. His will is perfect. What other thing besides his will? For his good pleasure. What's that?
My desire and my efforts.
My desire, my efforts.
Increasing
for his will and for his good pleasure, right? Yeah. Yeah. What else? So you got those two things. His will for his good pleasure is going to require what? My desire to change, for me to change. My will to change, my desire to change. But we want to do things according to his will and for his good pleasure. And I got to tell you something. When you do something in his will for his good pleasure, it is so good for you. It is so good for you. And it might not even seem that way to begin with. But when you lay down your will to do his will for his good pleasure, it comes back around. You can't outgive God. And there's something that he's going to do that you just go, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I did that. As we obey the Lord Jesus and work out our own salvation, what attitudes are we not to have against God and one another in the world? Arguing, complaining, and that means amongst us. We should not have disputes within the body of Christ. The world sees us complaining, murmuring, and having disputes with one another. It's a horrible witness. And it's interesting that as Paul is talking about having the mind of Christ, to work out your own salvation, to do God's good pleasure, he adds that because he wants you to understand that is not how you bring about his will and his good pleasure, through disputes and by murmuring, complaining. Steve.
And as we learn this, bring about circumstances that will cause these very things to see if you'll be obedient to him and everything that he does.
Yeah.
He'll always test you shortly after that to see if you'll follow through.
Yep. That's exactly right.
It's interesting that complaining seems to be, I'm grumbling about my circumstances.
Sure.
Maybe not to another person, but the disputing is certainly arguing and disputing with other people. So there's
It's one thing
to say, great, yeah, I don't argue with
anybody
else, but it's
not. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so unfortunately,
it does. Yes, it does. It does. Unfortunately, it covers more. Do you say unfortunately or do you say fortunately? Okay. Yeah, I think it's fortunately, but I get what you're saying. Yeah. So we need to have that attitude. We are here to love and exhort and encourage one another, and there's going to be personal disputes, and the question is, are you going to take the high road? You know, and are you going to allow for yourself to be slighted in order to maintain peace within the unity of the brethren? And those are tough things to do. You know, those are tough things to do. And he says, why not? You know, why can't you be complaining and having disputes? Why?
So we stand out in the world.
So
we look different.
We look different. And the world doesn't look at us and say, why would I want to be a Christian if all you guys are doing is whining, complaining, and, you know, disputing over things? And, yeah, it's not a good witness. The world's watching. A crooked and perverse generation is watching, which, by the way, we were all full-fledged members at one time. Yeah. So no one wants to labor in vain, and neither does Paul. What is Paul's hope for the Philippian church? Yes, and he gave a particular thing of how you're going to shine. What is it that he says to do?
Hold fast.
Hold fast, which means what? What's that?
Don't let go.
Don't let go. So hold fast, don't let go, which means hold on tight. Right? Hold on tight. Okay, is everybody in here? Okay. I want you to start sharing right now how you worked out your salvation with fear and trembling this week or in the last 2 months or whatever you have that you wrote down. Come on. There's got to be somebody here that wants to share. Yeah, Christian.
It's been kind of a hard time since we started this study. My car died and I got really sick last weekend. We did worship, but it's been great because God's been bringing back the Philippians study to remembrance, and I've just been able to give them praise and glory and see them do cool things even though it's been tough. So that's been one way I've been working it out.
Believe in what God's word says, but beyond how you feel. We know that trials are going to come our way. We were expecting that when we started this study. I want to first say kudos to all of you that are still here after being here the fifth week. There's been a little bit of attrition, but I'm hoping that some people who aren't here maybe this week or last week will come back and finish this. It always happens that way, but I'm still very encouraged to see all of you that are still here. But we knew that was going to happen when we started the study. We talked about it. We said that, look, trials are going to come your way. Circumstances are going to show itself unfavorable. Are you going to still, you know, keep your eyes on the Lord? Are you going to put to God's word practice of what it says? And to have those kind of testimonies for us. Because as iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. And working out your salvation means you're putting into practice what God's word says. So what have you done? What has come your way that you've been able to do that you wrote down?
I think fasting the last couple of days, I know for me, you know, I've fasted in the past a lot, but I don't think there's just, you know, you always say like the purpose of fasting is not, you know, it's not to lose weight, it's not to be self-deprecating or whatever, it's to, again, be thinking, you know, mindful of the Lord. And I don't know, the last couple of days for me were very, it seems like I could get busy with it, and you know, you get hungry and whatever, and you just get on, move on with life and go through your day. But it just seemed like the Lord was really in my face about, you know, praying, like, you know, and you know, having those hunger pangs and praying for stuff and just having things in front of your face. And I was just thinking about how that should be just our every day, you know. So it's not just when we're fasting, but you know, when somebody comes up, and you think about it. You know, I think about Justin and I pray for him. I don't know what he's going through today, but
right.
Praying for him. Just, you know, Lord bless him. And when you know somebody's struggling with something, you know, I think it's so cliche sometimes to be like, hey, bro, I'll pray for you. But to really do it and to,
right.
And to be...
That whole fast is to detach yourself from the world and attach yourself to things of God. Lord, show me what you want me to pray for. Show me what you want me to do in this situation, whatever it might be. So very simply put, what crossroads have come your way in the last few weeks, and you're able to see God's word say this, so do this, but I could do this, but you chose to do God's way. Yeah, Ryan.
I shared this earlier, but I've been trying to be excited about the opportunity to go to spend $800 and take a week off of work to go to Baton Rouge instead of looking at it like a task. You know,
yeah.
Sacrifice I have to make and being grudging, but I've been trying to be excited about that, have trembling about that opportunity.
Okay. It's coming up, so just so you know, that opportunity is coming up.
Like,
yeah.
When you brought it up, it's right. like it is. It's an opportunity to serve. It's not like, oh, man, like, I got enough crap to do, you know? Like,
yeah.
Which is where our flesh can go. You know?
I'm here to tell you about the whole Baton Rouge thing. If you've never done something like this, it's very hard to sell someone on this. It's kind of like the, it's got, hey, we have an opportunity for you to spend money to buy a ticket to go somewhere and spend more money to eat and then work.
And not get paid.
And not get paid. Yeah. So
called the church today about it. So praise God.
Yeah. What's that?
Someone called today about it.
Oh, great.
Sign up.
Yeah. So, but once you do it and you come back, you go, dude, you just got to experience it. I can't tell more than that. God shows up in ways that you just can't imagine.
But the food is.
Yeah. Food is fantastic.
Peanut butter and jelly.
It is fantastic.
Well, the food makes me tremble.
Yeah. I know. For John, when we went to Israel, man, he lost like 10 pounds when he went to Israel, when most people gain 10 pounds. So he just, very plain, he wants to know what the food is. And, you know, he's tough. But so what other things were you faced with?
Doubt.
Have been. What?
Doubt.
Doubt? Okay.
It comes upon me quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But are you stepping out and doing what God's word says in spite of doubt?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's working out your salvation.
Dive back into the word of God and recite certain promises. And And also I rely heavily on the apologetic aspect of it, kind of logically thinking this through and saying, you know, praying about it as I'm having that heavy doubt.
Have you guys had anything in your own devotion time where you've read something and God is speaking to you saying, you need to do this in this situation, and you're sitting there going, oh my goodness, I have to do this. This is what God's word says. We've been, we're trying to, you know, get everything together to be able to annex this church property into the city, have it zoned properly for a church to be planted there. Along the way, the neighbors have, some neighbors are, yes, we want a church, but man, the way the building's going to be is going to be a little close to us, and didn't really want it to be that close. And then this week, last week, they found out that it was going to be a B zone, and it just, people came out with pitchforks and torches. And so started getting emails and this and that. And my whole thing is, whoa, I thought you cared about the usage. I didn't know that you cared so much about the B zone. Well, Dave, why'd you do B zone? Well, because it fit perfectly with the church. And it's kind of like that little template that's the easiest to fill out. It's the cheapest to be able to give it a fee to the town for. And so it just seemed to work that way. And then all of a sudden we're getting emails. You're kind of stabbing us in the back. We didn't know it was going to go in that. It's not good for our property values to have a commercial zone next to us, all this kind of stuff. Whoa. Okay, we're going to have a meeting on this night, and it was last night. And there's too much to try and convey in the email. So I said, just please come, and we'll go from there. And so we had a meeting yesterday morning with our planning committee and everything. And I said, what is the pros and cons of a B zone? It's easier. It's quicker to get through the city. It's cheaper. It's like a $1,500 fee, and the other one's like a $2,500 fee or some of these other permits. And we've already been working towards it, and it's already in the the city's docket. And so this footprint is going to be on that zone. And I said, those are good things. What is the con for not doing it? Oh, it'd be more money. It's going to take more months before we can get approved by the city council. We have to kind of go through square one again and kind of the different hurdles and stuff like that. I said, okay. So the con is it's going to cost maybe $1,500 to $5,000 more, maybe $8,000 more. And it's going to delay us from being annexed in. Yes. Okay. Did we get $1 million that I didn't know about? We can't build right now anyway. So we spend a little bit more money. It takes a little bit more time. Okay. What's the pro and the con about going to a PD zoning? And I'll list you all the pros. God's word says you do things for the conscience sake of others. God says to love God and love your neighbor. These are neighbors. God's word tells us that if possible with you, to be at peace with all men. Jesus says to go the extra mile. James, it tells us this is the wisdom that's from above, is that it's gracious and it's willing to yield. And it will have its peaceable fruit. We can go on and on and on of all the scriptures to say you do things for the conscience sake of others, all these kind of different things. Now, where are the scriptures that say that you have a right? I'm still looking for those scriptures, by the way. Zero. If you ask me, slam dunk. Been praying and fasting, and all of a sudden, God is saying, you're going to go to this meeting, and guess what, Dave? You get to eat crow. You get to start off and say, I'm sorry. I ask for your forgiveness for you know, just kind of throwing B-zone your way. I thought more of the usage that you cared about than the actual zoning of it. I'm sorry that we didn't take more into account your concerns. We're backing off of that. We're going to do a PD instead with language in it, according to the town, however they have it worded, that it's going to be used for religious purposes only or for houses of worship, however they have it done. We'll go through the process again. And so I'm sorry that I did not take that into consideration and that this became a huge concern of yours. And as I told everybody last night, that was a prayer and praise, it's almost like they took off the Mr. Potato Head angry eyes and just kind of put it in their pocket. And you could just see them just all at ease. And then they began to, then the other questions had to do more about with the city planner that was there about drainage and some other things. And it was an hour long and everybody left. And all of a sudden, Joey will tell you, we're like their best friends. And they said, we really are excited about having a church here and this, that, and the. And then I have emails this morning from the one neighbor that was just notoriously, before even the B-zone, did not want anything to happen there. And so, but afterwards, I have this email that I let Joey read that shows a very very colorful description of myself and the church and not being a man of integrity and all this kind of stuff. And then me sending her saying, you know, please be at the meeting. I can't be at the meeting. Well, let me just start by saying, I'm sorry. I apologize. I ask for your forgiveness. I would love to do this in person. Well, I won't be there, but my husband will. And so then she sends me a thing saying, thank you so much for acknowledging our concerns. Absolutely. Thank you for being so gracious and merciful. And then I get a thing from her saying, you know, I think we started off on the wrong foot. Let's move forward with this and blah, blah, this kind of stuff. I'm going, oh my gosh. I was going, this is what happens when you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What that means is that you do what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says a soft word turns away wrath. So I went there just humbling myself and just eating crow and saying, I am sorry, I am responsible, blah, blah, all this kind of stuff. And just that soft word. And you did. You just saw the room just calm down. It was the most people we had in a neighborhood meeting than all the other ones. And then most of the questions was the city planner of things that they were just making sure. They have problems down below because of flooding. And there's some underground springs and some other things that kind of run their way. And so when it rains, it really messes things up. And so they wanted to know if us being there is going to, you know, make it worse or not. And it's not. We're there to capture that water, detain it. And so it goes out slowly, and the city planners there would be able to say, no, this is going to be better for all of you. And it's kind of so nice to hear that, you know. But you work out your salvation fear. What does God's word say? And often it's going to say, yeah, this isn't about rights. This is about you representing me. And did you see how often, in a sense, that Jesus himself ate crow? Not having to say I'm sorry or apologize or anything like that, but taking the low place and humbling himself and not caring about being slighted. And I look at it and go, because we were coming from a place at first of going, just so you know, we had all the votes from city. It was going to go through. 30 people could have shown up very angry when they were going to vote on this, and they still would have voted it, and they would have let it go through. It's our property. We could basically do whatever we want with it, and zone B and everything else. Okay, but what is that going to accomplish? We're going to be there. We're going to set it up. And now as we try and minister to the neighbors, what? Really? How does that work? You know, it doesn't. And I've been saying from the beginning, I want to be a neighborhood church. Yeah. This is the only issue I have here. We're not in a neighborhood. And so it's very difficult to love and bless a neighborhood and a community when you're not really in the community. And so it's kind of like, so our very first action is we're going to steamroll and be there. And boy, we're going to be a blessing to you. It couldn't happen. And all the, you know, and so we all saw it at the meeting yesterday morning. We need to do this. Wow. And as we go forward, let's just see how God blesses. And it was amazing. It was one of the most incredible things I've ever been a part of. You know, to have a bunch of people off with their head. And then by the end of the meeting, let's make them king. You know, and you're kind of going, man, talk about fickle. It's the same one, you know, Hosanna, Hosanna, crucify him. The other way for Jesus. But it was kind of like the way it was for us. And I'm just looking at this going, oh my goodness, Lord. Doing what your word says. Working out your own salvation. And look what he does. You know, look what he does, yeah.
So we have a sign in our house that says, faith is not knowing that God can, or faith is not believing that God can, it is knowing that he will.
Yeah.
Right? But knowing that he will comes with knowing his word, and obeying his word, and working out your salvation.
Right.
So we do those things, he will. He will. And so if we believe that, if we believe his word, and know his word, working out our salvation, he will.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Steve.
So, we all knew the answer when we started the meeting, but it was not that easy.
No.
An hour and a half wrestling with it. Mm-hmm. But we all knew what God's word said, and we all knew there wasn't any other way.
Yeah.
And what did you tell us at the end of the meeting? When we said,
I don't remember.
When you walked forward.
At the end of our meeting that we had?
At the end of our meeting, right?
I do not remember.
I think you told me walk forward in God's word, can't go wrong.
That's exactly right. Absolutely. Boy, that was profound. But it's, wow. I should listen more to myself. No, but it's absolutely true. And that, now that you brought that up, because I totally spaced on that, my whole thing is we wrote down scriptures there, and it was like, how can you go wrong by doing what the Word of God says? You can't. It doesn't mean it's going to be favorable to you, but how can you be wrong? How can this be the wrong path? It cannot be the wrong path. This is because we're looking at it and saying, here are all the scriptures that say to go left. There are no scriptures that say to go right. So why on earth would you go right? Because it's easier and it's more appealing to my flesh. I get that. But it was as clear as day when we got done. We have to go through this. I don't want to go through this. I get that. I did not want to go through it. I'm the one that has to go there and say, sorry, and hey, how you doing? And it's really weird. It's really weird to shake hands of the people that are coming in and giving them a map of what we're doing and things like that before you have a chance to say, I'm sorry, and all your concerns are going to go away here in a moment. But as they're coming in 15 minutes before, 5 minutes before, hey, let's go ahead and start the meeting. Let me start off by those first 15 minutes were very, you know, you can almost hear a pin drop because everybody's like, what's he going to say? And, you know, all that kind of stuff. It was tough. And it took its toll on me emotionally. And just I was exhausted by the time I got home. My wife would tell you, she says, what is wrong with you is what she kept saying. I said, I am just emotionally drained by the Holy Spirit, I believe. So, James.
Just a question. It's something subtle you just said. Are you saying that your pros and cons list went from what do we think is pro about these PDs to really creating a pros and cons list of scripture?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because we want to be able to look at both things and just saying, look, because following the Lord has a cost. There's no question about it. You know, there's a cost to disciple. Count the cost before you go. So we were counting the cost. We were kind of looking at it going, God's way says to go this way. Now, what is the pro to here? Where's the con? And here's the pro. It's kind of like, I believe the neighbors will love us. I believe that we will be shown we're loving them by going to a PD. What's the con? Money and time. Okay, what's the pro over here for the B zone? The pro is it's less money and we don't have to spend any more time on it. It's the easiest path. Okay, what's the con? The whole neighborhood hates us.
And one of the principles, guys, about this whole thing is that people got to come before building.
People have to come before projects, yes.
Like we said up here, there's only two things about you that are going to heaven. Is your soul and your spirit and the word of God. Everything else is going to remain here. And Jonathan and I both
God and others.
That the first thing we do when we open the new building is we have an open house for the neighborhood. We have a barbecue.
Absolutely.
We have an open house for the neighborhood because it's about people.
And if we do that, I think they will come now.
Yes.
Yeah, whereas before they wouldn't come. There's no way they would come.
They would have come and barbecued us.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that's probably more likely. Yeah, Steve. Yeah, me anyway, yeah.
Probably an example would be Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice.
Thank you.
Love, mercy, and walk humbly.
With your God, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Proverbs 3:5-6, those who have ordered well your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, he will do the direct thing.
Right. I mean, all of those say, you have to go this way. There wasn't one. Believe me, I looked. There wasn't one to say that you were to stick with plan B and B zone and this and that. There was not one. And all I did on Monday was pray and read, fasted, all the stuff. And it was just one verse coming after another. And here's the thing. Before I even shared that, Steve already had confirmation with Romans 12:8 as well. James 3, John was weighing on his heart. And so these are all verses that have been on my heart. And then John, I think you also were thinking about Romans 12 as well. And it's kind of like, well, where there's two or three witnesses, the thing is established. Even if I didn't have those witnesses, I already knew. I was already convicted and checkmated by the Word of God. So it's kind of like, what do you think you have to do? Sometimes God makes it very plain. And you just kind of go, I already know what I have to do. But it doesn't make it any easier. No. It just makes it so you kind of go, I get it.
In a practical sense, the way that that happened with Dave is because those verses were hidden in his heart. So the working in has to come before the working out. So that's why we're here. That's why we come to church, to work in the Word of God. So we get in those situations, and he brings to our mind what it is we need to have in order to make a decision that glorifies him.
Yes,
but
and just
put all that word in over here.
Yeah.
It may not have come forward.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known what James said there. It's not as though I read the whole New Testament and these verses came out. I didn't have that much time yesterday. But I want you to know something. I'm going to ask this question every week from here on out. How have you worked out your salvation this week? There's going to be something this week that God's Word says to do that, even though you want to do this. Write it down. Share that with us. We glean from that. Amen?
Amen.
May God bless you.
Thank you, guys.